In the studio, I've got Jordan Bloomer, who is one of our original DJs. Come up to the mic, and how you doing?
I'm great, mate. Good to be back in Raglan.
Yeah, yeah. So you were there. How close to the start of the station were you involved?
I'd say, honestly, probably about 12 months after it initially started.
Yeah.
I was, you know, always from Raglan when I moved here, but went to Hamilton Boys High for 4 years. And in my last year of schooling, I came back to Raglan area when it was still at the school hall.
So you were one of the student DJs.
Was one of the student DJs, and I got to sort of share a show that a friend invited me on, and then he stopped doing it. And then, yeah, that's how I got involved in the community radio aspect.
So were you one of the kids playing gangster rap during lunchtime? It's apparently quite a legendary aspect of the station.
We did have that going on. Sol Cooper had a show called The Hellbound Show on Wednesday nights from 7:30, and we skated together downtown.
Yeah.
And he got me involved. And he was into like lots of punk and hardcore, quite, you know, anarchistic, forward-thinking stuff. So we were doing that, and then I was asked to do a morning show, and so I had to learn to maybe not indulge my favorite music and learn other stuff. You know?
Yeah,
yeah.
And you said to me in the email that this actually, the experience with the station led somewhere for career-wise.
Yeah, and that's what I thought would come on today, just if there's any people out there who are curious if they thought they could give a go at community radio. It's a funny journey, and music is a journey, and it's not just about pressing play. It's actually, you can become involved in it. And, you know, through accidentally kind of getting involved in this, what it can lead to is, say for myself, after I did this, when I went to Australia, I got involved with 4ZZZ, which is Australia's longest running independent radio station in Brisbane.
Okay.
And through that, you can get involved in magazine writing, doing adverts, as you would know, script writing, advertising. And so doing all this kind of stuff in different community radio stations led me to being able to get into freelance writing for Fairfax Media, which is one of the biggest media companies in Australia. And that all started from something really humble like Raglan Community Radio. And if there's people out there that sort of are a little bit not sure what they want to do, there's no harm in giving something like this a go, because it's going to look great on your resume, because it's a self-starter on your own initiative. You get to interact with people, speak with your community, hear back from your community. It's a really fantastic thing to get involved in. So,
yeah, so it sounds like the way you started was kind of similar to me. Like, I had no intentions of being in the media, and I was 30, I think, or 31 or something.
Yep.
And I just wanted to hear something on the radio, and I realized that if I didn't make it happen, it wasn't going to happen any other way. And that was a kind of a newsy thing. And then I started doing my own interviews just because it seemed like a sensible thing to do.
Yeah.
Since I was already there, and it just, now I have a job, which was not the plan. There was no plan, and it sounds like for you there was you're still at school, your last year of school, there wasn't a plan to head in that direction.
No way.
Yeah,
but you know, I just listened to the interview you did before. You know, it's a real skill to be a good interviewer, to sort of go back and forth with the person that you're interviewing to get to the right questions, not to get the right answers, because someone's going to have their own opinion, but it's an art, you know, and it's something you don't learn on your first day. So obviously, I guess for yourself, you saw something that you wanted to hear, and you made it happen. And that's the creativity and the magic of radio and music. So
yeah, and there certainly is that capacity. Like, most radio now is very tightly controlled, and the place where talent is going to develop, it used to be the student stations, but I noticed that a lot of the student stations have still got, like, especially their morning people are my age, and they're the ones who were the big names in the 80s, and somehow they've stayed. Or they've gone away and come back. So it's not necessarily all young people anymore at the student station. So sometimes community radio might be the only place that you can... And we've got the resources. You don't have to buy anything. You just turn up and join in.
That's it. It's not about buying anything. It's just about putting forth what you think people might want to hear or be exposed to. And it's a... Yeah, commercial radio has its place. But sometimes that can be what pushes as music as entertainment, not music as art, or, you know, poignant interviews and stuff like that. And if student radio can attract all types of people, it doesn't just have to be youth, that's part of its magic. You know, it doesn't have to be exclusive. It's not all about... Every generation can bring something back to the community from what they know.
So you got into it very casually, but did you find a sense of mission or something that you wanted to bring?
Not initially, because I think you're just too young to really be that self-aware. Some people might be now, and that's pretty cool. But I think we were just so happy to be the ones actually playing music to people? Because I guess you might know it as a kid growing up yourself. Radio could have that appeal where you'd listen to a radio station, whether it's Hamilton or BFM. You know, you had to have friends out at Whale Bay actually hear that, because that's how it would beam across from Auckland.
Oh, yeah.
But you would, you know, tape it off the radio.
Yeah, I used to do that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you could be that person, hopefully, that someone liked your show so much they were taping it. And that's maybe as big as we thought, you know.
Right. Maybe someone will take my show illegally.
Yeah, but yeah. That's the fun aspect of it.
Yeah, yeah. So I've been in the room where the station was.
Right.
In the gymnasium in the school, and it really is a storage room now. There's still stickers on the wall in there.
I bet.
And there's still a couple of items that have never left.
Oh man.
So they're still there, but it was not it's not what you'd call a studio or anything. It was an announcer's booth, I think. Not that anyone ever did that at the school gym.
But. Yeah, I guess they would have hoped that they would be announcing sports or basketball games or something. I mean, when you were there, you'd sort of go up the little staircase and up to the booth of it, and you felt like you're in some sort of strange submarine in the radio ops desk. But yeah. it was really crammed in. What you do remember from those times is that the great influence of Irangi Te Mutu, New Zealand On Air.
Yeah.
They would send out the Kiwi hit disc, I think, once every few months.
We've still got lots of them, although they're done online these days, but yeah.
They were gold to us.
Right.
Yeah.
Because you had to have your own CDs then.
CDs, tapes, vinyl, whatever you could have. Obviously, CDs were really in vogue back then. We would get, the radio station would have a budget to actually purchase singles. So I think in my time, you know, I got exposed to like the Radiohead singles for the Benz album and the She Had second album, Killjoy. Really cool stuff that was coming through. And again, if you just did your own show at night and you just wanted to push your own sort of music, you weren't asked to really play that stuff. But in the morning, they wanted you to play the Kiwi hit disc and just sort of what was current in New Zealand. And I sort of credit Reagan Community Radio for actually opening probably my mind to music instead of being a bit closed off.
I mean, these days there's other avenues to find new music, but I remember when I first got here, it was things like community radio where you'd find the interesting curiosities and different genres and fields that you didn't know existed.
Yep.
And there'd be some passionate person on the air bringing it to you. And
it's fascinating what you would hear, and you'd almost wish, you know, you knew what that song was. You'd actually want to try and track it down. You know, we used to listen to stuff on the radio and just hope that we could find it at Trax Records in Hamilton. You know, great shop. You know, wish it was still going.
Oh, the whole building's not there anymore. They knocked it down.
Yeah. That was a classic spot.
It was, the building wasn't in that good condition. I don't know if you'd ever been upstairs in it, but there were rooms up there that they were renting out to for not much money, because they had these steel rods across the floor, just sitting on the floor, that were holding the building together. Like you'd go into a room and there'd be these two crossways in metal, about an inch diameter.
Right.
And they were the like tension rods to stop the building like exploding out. So
yeah, it was on its way out, obviously.
Yeah. So that's, times have really, really changed. So what are you working in at the moment?
Oh, these days I live out quite rural in Australia, in South Australia, quite remotely. I do house painting on the weekdays. And then I go to a small coastal town called Robe, and I own a small vintage clothing store.
Right.
Which has been really fun. I still curate my own music in there. I still bring some CDs down or, you know, a record. Yeah. And yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So life evolves.
Life evolves. I mean, I lived in Melbourne for 14 years where I was originally born, up until about 5 years ago, and got involved in the music scene there and radio and stuff like that. You sort of, as I'm sure people who have come to Raglan have recently realised, that cities are quite expensive and people are looking for alternatives, so they start dispersing out to the countryside and coastal areas. So that's what happened to me.
Yeah, that is. So where's the place you're living?
It's a pretty quaint name. It's called Reedy Creek. Sounds like an old country song.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's in South Australia.
Just along the coast?
Yeah, about 20 km from the coast. It's, you know, doesn't have the charm of Raglan, I'll put it that way. It's pretty barren, but, you know, it was affordable, and, you know, so I live probably in some sort of semi-obscurity there.
It's a lot of people who like the obscurity.
It has its moments, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. So what do you think of the studio? Like, you came in before, and this is the studio. We've been here for a long time, nearly 20 years, I think.
Oh, dude, I love it because this hall is just is such a focal point of Raglan. I've got a lot of great memories. I think it's fitting that the station's here. It makes a lot of sense. It is the heart of town.
Yeah, yeah.
I will tell a funny story. I just had a peek around at the school, the actual town hall itself on the stage, and we used to have some pretty wild bands come out from Hamilton and Auckland, and bands like Muck Hole, like punk bands and stuff.
Yeah.
And with the Raglan crew here, like the Surfskate crew, it was pretty... We had some pretty funny local rules, but if anyone stage dived here, you couldn't put your arms out because no one would catch you. So you had to have like a bit of faith to like jump out your arms at your side, because otherwise the floor would part and you'd bounce. And everyone's like, "Dude, you shouldn't have put your arms out," you know. So it's funny seeing that and all those memories coming back.
I'm not aware if that's the rule anymore. I'm not sure.
Maybe don't make it the rule now.
Yeah. Did you ever have the experience of hitting the floor?
No, it was arms at the side.
Yeah, had you seen people?
Yep.
Yeah,
you'd seen people bounce.
That's pretty illustrative of what was going to happen.
That was our rites of passage here.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, so, and there was, I was trying to think what might have happened with the station. So it shifted from there. It was in where the, in a shop down on the corner for about a year. And when the station was there, they brought the transmitter with them. It started interfering with the TV reception at the Harbourview Hotel. And so the frequency police came out for the Ministry of Economic Development, I think it's called these days. And they noticed that the location was not the location on the license.
Oh, right. Here we go.
But yeah, so they closed the station down or put it off the air.
Yep.
And actually, the location was actually the campground, which makes no sense at all. Someone had messed up originally. Anyway, so they were off the air for quite a few months while they got... I guess that's when they relocated up here.
And sort of rezoned it, I guess, like to where you could keep it, or?
Yeah, they had to fill out the paperwork
anyway,
but it all came from the guests at the Harbourview complaining that the TV reception had gone bad. And so there was a 10-watt transmitter on here for a long time.
Yeah.
In fact, it's still there as a backup. And then at about 2008, we got a transmitter up the hill by the cell phone towers.
Sweet, yep.
And... It had changed frequency to do that. Went from 96.6 to 98.1.
It has, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So, and that's been, and we've got a, you know, there's an aerial that sends a signal straight to the, up to the site up there.
Yeah.
And that's a whole 100 watts, which...
Wow, that's a boost.
Well, it's a logarithmic scale, so going from 10 to 100 actually only doubles your effective strength, but because you're up there, you've got a much better... reach across Raglan, because
yes.
I remember what it was like when I first got here. Different rooms in the house would have different levels of reception.
This is true
for the radio. So it was. I was surprised many people listened, but
yeah,
I think there was probably quite a good community feeling around the station right from the start because it was this new thing and people were excited about it.
Yeah, when you put it that way, it's kind of rare. I mean, Raglan has always been a bit of a special place. Obviously, it's got the great surf that's attracted a lot of people here. That's how my family came here in the '80s. But
yeah,
you know. Also, surfing being part of the school curriculum at some point, someone decided to do community radio here, and everyone got to pitch in and have a go. And yeah, it's just.
I think it was
pretty lucky.
I read that heard that the principal at the time, Bo Rewity, had a background in broadcasting.
I think that rings a bell. Yeah.
Yeah. So he was interested in that, but then he got a job somewhere else after a year and a half or something. So, okay. And then it kind of lost impetus, and there was the first of the crises. That it faced, and yeah, and there's stories about. But they wanted all the shops to play it. They were very encouraging the shops to play it, but then people were told, DJs were told not to play hardcore stuff in the shops because Foursquare didn't like hearing rude language in their shop. And
I can imagine
there's a lot of arguments.
Yeah.
Pitchells were not that happy about that sort of thing. So there was a lot of a variety of opinions, and there still are, but it's a little more settled now.
Yeah, I mean, taste is always hard to govern for other people.
Yeah.
I think I do remember now that you mentioned it, that there was a strong wish that every shop in Raglan played the radio station to really kind of, you know, embed it in the community and stuff. But yeah, just because we were solely at that time a student radio station, kids are going to play what they're into, and you know, as I'm sure kids want to play now. And yeah, you just don't really, when you're young, you sort of don't really consider other people to an extent of what they might be into. Like, some people like classic 60s stuff, 70s disco, Yeah, sure. I mean, I loved, like, you know, Public Enemy and Wu-Tang and would try and play it whenever I could. But you sort of did have to sort of think that, you know, people trying to run a business, maybe it wasn't the kind of ambience they wanted, you know. So.
Yeah, yeah. I think you can't be all things to all people. And no radio station is these you days. Can't. If you go into Hamilton and tune in, you'll hear.
Okay.
Well, actually, you hear a lot of radio. It's classic radio now.
Right.
There's a couple of top 40 stations left, but mostly it's classic radio.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's the change in the... Because there's Spotify and everything, so...
Yeah, yeah. And it does sort of whittle down sort of more grassroots stuff like we have here. And I think that's why it's even more important that this becomes a pretty, like, you know, cool bastion for what can be done through perseverance and not sort of assuading to what people think is, you know... the latest and greatest. I mean, I know everyone loves to find music on Spotify, but you know what? Listen to a community radio station and go crate digging. Find your records, find your tapes, find your CDs, because that's where real music lives. And that's, you know, yeah, there's no algorithm involved. Yeah,
yeah, it's the, I think it's the surprise factor. That's what I really enjoyed. Same. Like when I was really young, I just listened to the commercial radio. But then in my 30s, I was like fascinated by what people were bringing. And you're right. There's no algorithm for that.
There's none.
Yeah, it's the individual's passion for their music is also part of it. Like if they bring their passion and that gets you excited, and you might not have paid any attention otherwise. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You know, for us, say in Raglan, you know, if you did a trip to Hamilton with your parents, cool, you could go to tracks, like I was saying. But the person that was holding it down was Craig, rest in peace, at Raglan Surf Co. He had a tape carousel, two of them at the counter. And he had the latest cassette tapes.
Is that right?
Yeah, and we would just froth, like, oh my God, you know, like, latest this, latest that, Offspring tape, and, you know, Radiohead, and...
He knew how to attract the kids into the shop, didn't
Primus.
He?
Yeah, he had the best shop, man. We all hung out there, and such a good dude, and yeah, just I'm just glad it's still going, you know, and that's a really iconic logo. For Raglan, it's world-renowned.
Yeah, you know? Yeah. Well, yeah, his family has taken over, like Luke's doing the shaping.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's a special spot.
Yeah. I mean, they've had to shift down the road a little bit.
Yeah, I figured they had. Yeah, I was sort of like, you know, I haven't been there for so many years, but I was like, I think it's moved, but it's still the same
I'm not
vibe.
Quite sure what the story is, but the landlord said time to go, and we're setting up another surf shop in the same spot. But what's interesting is, and I think it's about the vibe that Surfco has, is that they went down to a site where previously people had trouble making things. It was where Vinny's used to be.
Oh, Colin Chung's place.
Yeah. And so he'd retired from that, and a couple of other owners had tried to run food outlets there and they didn't seem to work that well.
Right.
And they felt like, from what I heard, they felt like they were too far from the middle of town. But Surfco went down there and the town's just come down to them.
Yeah, sort of extended, to where they set the boundary.
Yeah, what I mean by that, I mean the people have come down to them.
Which is great.
Yeah, like people just go and hang out there and they've got a little coffee shop and there's something about the vibe of it that just people just come down.
And I noticed that there's some sort of alleyways with more shops down there now. And so it's kind of this cool little warren of little
How long since you've been here?
Oh, I left in like 1996.
Oh, really? And you haven't been back since?
I've been back like a couple times. Like my parents were living in town at what's now known as Flax Cove, which used to be called Te Whare, and near Government Road, and they're out at Te Uku these days.
Right.
Yeah, so they're still part of Raglan, but they just live a pretty quiet life out there. So,
yeah. But you can feel the sense of change.
Dude, yep.
Does it just feel different aside from the physical changes?
It's very different.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And people have lived here for a couple of decades, like I have now, we're like, yeah, it's changing. But you will see it more clearly.
Yeah, look, I'm by no means the ultimate local, so I'm not going to try and own that. But, you know, here from the early 80s, and yeah, definitely can see it's changed a lot. You can't stop progress. You know, it's still a rad town, you know, still got all the things you love about it. I'd probably say if I look at it, you know, less is more sometimes. It seems a little bit, seems a bit overdeveloped in some ways maybe, but that's just my opinion.
That's not going to stop.
No, it's not.
We have to get on the horse and ride it rather than let it bolt free, I think.
Exactly.
It's the only thing we can do.
As long as places like this are still here, it still keeps that connection going of what this place can be, which I love.
Hey folks, we're talking to Jordan Bloomer, who was one of the original DJs from Raglan Community Radio, long before I turned up in Raglan. And you're going to do a show this weekend, aren't you?
I'm going to give that's it a go, plan. Mate. Yeah, that's the plan.
Did we settle on a time for that?
I think it's 2 till 6 p.m.
On
Sunday.
On Sunday. All right, because we got Sunday's just suddenly opened up in a lot of places. So we got, you're going to do the monster big 4 hour slot.
I'll try and bore you for 4 hours. Just
no,
kidding.
No, it'll be great. Do you have a do you know what you're going to play, or are you going to wing it?
I'm going to wing it, but I did make up some compilation stuff because I can't bring my collection over. So yeah, it'll be, you know, I'm more eclectic than I used to be as a kid, but yeah, it'll be like soundtrack stuff, hip hop, a lot of 90s stuff.
Yeah.
Some obscure stuff, but yeah, I mean, again, if it resonates with you, cool. I was glad to share it, you know, and just, I'm just passing on forward what was given to me when people did their own shows. Someone's, you know, taking the time to do a show. Not all of it sticks, but some of it does. And that's what's great, you know.
Yeah. 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 Well, look, Jordan, it's been really intriguing talking to you this morning. As I said, I wasn't here at the start, so it's always nice to talk to people who were and
yeah, mate, no
get
worries.
A little reminder about it. And like, because there's a long period of no photos of the station, for instance. So I try to collect little bits of data that I've got.
Yeah,
you know, and we keep everything now. It's easy to keep stuff digitally, but yeah, I just like to collect every little piece of history that I can find for the station.
I'll have a dig back at home, and if I find anything, it'll come back to you for sure.
Awesome. Yeah. All right. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
All right, folks, that's the end of the show for the date. Hope you've enjoyed it, and I'll be back again tomorrow. Going to be talking to Shaw Mead about what's happening with the beaches. Are we still going to have one in a few years, basically?